Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
Jump up, get down, come dance for down now. We're moving our body to the ABC. Dance nearby, wow. Dance far away, now clap your hands to the letter of the day, clap, clap. What's the letter? Clap, clap. What's the letter? Clap, 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 clap.
What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter?
The letter of the day.
Okay, hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to this month's edition of Winefabet Street. Now, I know typically we are a twosome. We have myself, Lori from Dracena Wines in Paso Robles, specializing in Cabernet Franc, and we typically have Debbie, aka HV Wine Goddess. But we had some technical difficulty in the audio realm of our presentation earlier today, so I'm going to have to wing this one and do the podcast solo. So today on Winefabet Street, as you heard, the letter of the day is C, and it stands for Carmenere. Now, Carmenere really is typically more of a blending grape, but you can find it as a single varietal. And we're going to start off with the general characteristics of Carmenere. So basically, it is a very fruit-forward wine. It's on a scale of 1 to 10. I would rate that as it could be a 9. It is a medium plus bodied with medium tannin and medium plus acidity and medium plus alcohol. You typically get flavors of raspberry, green pepper, black plum, cocoa powder, and paprika. And the interesting thing is that Carmenere is actually a very late ripening grape. So it likes to hang on the vine in longer than a Merlot. In fact, like almost a month later than Merlot. So in that time frame, a lot of weather stuff can go on, and then it impacts what the grape itself, what flavors it's going to present in itself. So hotter, shorter vintages where clusters ripen faster, the fruit is more likely to show bell and hot pepper notes. Crop conditions of the fruit heavily influence the fruit and spice components of the wine. So warmer temperatures encourage more apparent fruit notes with a mix of those dark berries and that vibrant red fruit. So depending on what you like, you're going to look for different vintages, okay, or different climates for that, okay? As the climate of the vineyard cools, the juiciness of the vine tends to increase with a greater overall focus on structure and leanness brought to the wine. So Carmenere's fruit readily carries its own spice elements, and the vegetal aspects are highly influenced by those crop conditions. So Carmenere, along with Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Malbec, and Petit Verdot, are actually considered the original six red grapes of Bordeaux, France. The name Carmenere originates from the French word for crimson, carmen, which refers to this brilliant crimson color in the autumn in the leaves right before leaf fall. Now, the interesting thing is that there are loads of pictures out on the internet of these beautiful reds, okay, of the leaves. Well, red in a leaf really typically is not a good thing. It's red blotch. It's a disease of the vine. And although it does make for pretty pictures, it really is not good for the vine. Over time, the production of the vines decrease. So the vineyard owner is going to get less and less grapes per area of the vine. And ultimately, he really has no other choice but to rip those vines out and to replant, which is extremely expensive. But Carmenere actually has that crimson color on the underside of its foliage, and it really is beautiful. Now, as I said, it originated in Bordeaux, France, and that was where it was planted the most. However, since then, phylloxera came in, it wiped it out, and it really isn't planted there very much anymore. Instead, it is actually now planted mostly in Chile with more than 8,800 hectares, which is actually 21,745 acres in the Central Valley of Chile. And November 24th is actually International Carmenere Day. So a little bit about the history of Carmenere. As I stated, it's one of the older European grape varietals that was used to produce Bordeaux wine. It is actually thought that the ancient Romans were fond of the variety and that it earned a great reputation for producing good quality wine in Spain. The Romans probably planted Carmenere in the Bordeaux region, and the original name for Bordeaux was Vitrica, which some historians suggest was also an early name for what we now call Carmenere. Okay? Other proponents are going off of the Carmen, like I had stated earlier, about the crimson color. Okay? In France, following the phylloxera epidemic, Bordeaux wine growers didn't want to replant the variety. It was a difficult grape. They wanted to go along with something that was easier to deal with. So in the left bank, they replaced it with Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Cabernet Franc. Today, Chile maintains the largest planting of Carmenere in the world. And the grape first gained popularity in South America when cuttings were actually brought from the Bordeaux around 1850. And at that time, many of the cuttings were actually thought to be Merlot. So the Chilean growers thought they were growing Merlot when they were actually growing Carmenere. So the mistake was eventually discovered in 1994. So that was a long time before they realized they were growing the wrong grape. Many growers became acutely aware that they had vast plantings of Carmenere and not Merlot, and that they were actually then intertwined in between. So they had Carmenere grapevines in with the Merlot grapevines. The discovery led to improved vineyard practices with the variety. So think about it. You have Merlot that ripens a month prior to Carmenere, a little bit less finicky of a grape, and then you've got Carmenere that requires warmer seasons, longer hang time, and the vineyard owners are going, what the heck? I can't, why is this vine doing this and this vine doing that? Well, it turns out that they had Merlot and Carmenere. So once they realized that they had two different varietals, it allowed them to be better at growing both the Merlot and the Carmenere. Okay? In fact, Carmenere is now so popular in Chile that in 1998, the Chilean Department of Agriculture officially recognized Carmenere as a distinct variety. Carmenere takes up slightly more than 10% of all the plantings in Chile today. Carmenere is actually rather difficult to find outside of Chile. There are plantings in China, which is actually growing, and it is predicted that it could potentially take on more hectares than Chile itself. There's small amounts of Carmenere being slowly added to the vineyards in Italy, New Zealand, Walla Walla in Washington State, and to a lesser extent in Napa and Sonoma. There is also some Carmenere in Virginia. So what do we pair Carmenere with? It's actually relatively easy to pair Carmenere with food. Probably the number one choice is going to be veal or lamb. With that Herbes de Provence seasonings on it, you know, remember it's originally from Bordeaux, so that's going to pair well. Another highly suggested pairing is bacon. That smokiness in the bacon pairs nicely with the flavors of the Carmenere. So I'm thinking, you know, a nice spinach salad with lots and lots of bacon on it, or as simple as a bacon salad with some nice fresh greens, or a pancetta, pasta with some pancetta and onions. That sounds awesome. Additionally, hard cheeses are thought to pair well with carmenere and grilled veggies. Depending on who you talk to, some food like empanadas, Mexican food, because carmenere can handle that spice. So the spiciness in the Mexican food, such as empanadas, seems to be a good choice for pairing. But again, you're going with the basics, the beef, the pork, any of the game meats because of that smokiness. Pasta with the spicy sauce. So what I was thinking of is, you know, penne arrabbiata is one of my favorite meals, but it's so difficult to pair food, to pair wine with it because of the heat that is in there. But carmenere can supposedly handle that. So I'm definitely going to be giving that a shot in the near future. You know, sausages, salami, and as I said earlier, prosciutto. These are all perfect pairings for carmenere. Now, one of the nice things about carmenere is that it really is relatively not an expensive wine. You can go into your local retail shop and find a wine for under $10, which is exactly what I did. My wine, which is the Momentos Reserva Carmenere, was actually $9.49 at our local Total Wines. Okay, and I picked it up. If you listened to last month's episode, I thought it was a prisoner on there because it had these black or really gray and white stripes. But then when I looked at it more carefully, it was actually a cornucopia on top of what I think was another cornucopia. So just ignore the fact that I thought it was a prisoner. But it is a Reserva. It is from Chile, and it is actually from the Rapel Valley, which is in the, and I'm going to butcher how you say this, so pardon me, Cachapoal Andes. I really don't know. The winemaker for this wine was Victor Arce, and as I stated, they suggest pairing it with beef, pork, and game meats. They suggest pouring the wine at 55 to 61 degrees. It had 13.5% alcohol, and it actually had a little residual sugar, which when I tasted it, it kind of piqued my interest, but it's not sweet at all. It would be considered a dry wine. Chateau Los Boldos, which is the winery that made this wine, was actually created in 1991, and their aim was to produce premium wines from Chile. Their founder wanted to create wine that would benefit from the centuries of knowledge of winemaking from the French techniques, and he wanted to combine it with the terroirs of Chile. Los Boldos occupies a mere 250 hectares in one of Chile's finest viticultural areas, the Cachapoal Andes, as previously known was Alto Cachapoal. I have no idea why it went from Alto Cachapoal to Cachapoal Andes, so if anybody knows that, leave a nice little comment. It is about 100 kilometers south of Santiago. The single vineyard property, so it is one vineyard, the winery is on the vineyard, and that is it. Okay? The single vineyard property and winery is found on alluvial soils, and the fruit is all manually harvested. Some old vines on the property, the oldest vines are actually Cabernet Sauvignon, and they were planted in 1948. There is a Merlot parcel. This, right, where there's Carmenere, you're going to have Merlot, and that was planted in 1959. In 2008, Chateau Los Boldos became part of the So Grape family, which is actually a Portuguese conglomerate company, and today Chateau Los Boldos is present in over 40 countries. So it's pretty much time to wrap up the letter of the day. C is for Carmenere. I'm going to end it with our fast five facts about Carmenere. So Carmenere is now considered the national grape of Chile. Remember, November 24th is Carmenere Day. Carmenere fast fact number two, it is actually the child of the best grape varietal there is, Cabernet Franc. Yes, Cabernet Franc did get around. So Cabernet Franc and Gros Cabernet, which I believe is now an extinct grape, actually came together to produce Carmenère. Carmenère fast fact number three. Carmenère is the deepest, darkest, and most purple of the red grapes. So I like to think of it as if we were having a beauty pageant, if we were having the grapes come across the stage to look at how beautiful they are, Carmenère would win with that deep, dark, and purple color. And what I think is pretty interesting is, you know, when we were at UC Davis in the winemaking program, you know, you had to learn to identify grape varietals by their leaves and by their clusters. You know, some clusters are long and narrow. Some clusters are short, squatty, and thicker. And then, of course, the foliage, the leaves themselves, are different. And Carmenère, being this dark and beautiful purple grape, you see Carmenère as the representative of red grape varietals. If you look online, all the pretty, not all, but a lot of the pretty pictures of grapes, they actually are Carmenère because of the coloration and that foliage, that crimson color on the underside of the foliage. It's a beautiful grape. It would be a pageant winner. Carmenère, fast fact number four. Carmenère is actually a late ripening varietal. It is about a month after Merlot. So remember, in that month after Merlot has harvested, a lot of weather conditions can occur. If rain comes in, it creates a whole problem for the Carmenère grapevine. And finally, Carmenère, fast fact number five. Carmenère has a fairly sweet tannins, which makes it approachable at a younger age. So there is enough tannic structure in there for you to buy a bottle and lie it down and let it sit for a while. But it's also light enough in tannin that you can go to the store, you can buy the most recent vintage, and you can pop the cork or turn the cork, turn the screw cap, whatever you're going to do, and you can drink it right away. So there you have it. There is the letter of the day. C is for Carmenère. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. And again, sorry that it wasn't both Debbie and I, but technical issues. Maybe it was the eclipse. This was recorded on the 21st. So maybe the eclipse, those sunspots were doing something with our audio, but we had technical difficulties. So I had to modify our program a bit. Anyway, our next Wine for Bet Street will be on Monday, September 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I will actually be back in New Jersey for that one. And Debbie, who recorded at a hotel room in Tennessee because she went to go look at the eclipse, will be back in New York. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please remember, if there's a letter of the day that you would like us to know to do for you, you know, just let us know. Send us a message, and when that letter comes up, we'll be more than happy to try to do that grape varietal for you.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!